So, you've got a replacement for 100 LOLED. Now what? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Yesterday, we brought you Jim Campbell's conversation with John Rusek of Swift Enterprises, talking about the development of Swift Fuel, which may be a replacement fleet-wide for 100 LOLED. But it takes more than making it work in the lab to make it work in the marketplace. Today, Jim explores those remaining issues, starting with John Zilkowski, Swift's VP of Renewable Fuels and Head of Corporate Flight Ops. The next big step in the march to market would seem to be
certification. Yeah. The fact that sooner or later, somehow, some Fed somewhere has got to say, got to bless it and say, go forth, fuel the world.
Exactly, Jim. And, you know, that's something that I really take to heart. I'm Swift's representative for the ASTM International Alternative Fuels Committee. And so we're really working hard to get it not only certified legally through FAA, but as well as through some sort of standard like ASTM. We really feel that industry consensus is the best approach rather than just having the FAA certify one-off fuels. It really needs to be a global solution. And so then you look at, well, how are we going to get all of our known equipment certified on a new fuel, which is actually counterintuitive to what we've done in the past. We've certified new equipment on a known fuel, and the known fuel since 72 has been 100 LOLED. And so we're coming to this situation where we either STC every engineer frame combination, we put out an amended type certificate through the OEMs, put a service bulletin out, or we could do something just as clever and work with the FAA hand in hand and say, look, folks, FAA, OEMs, come together. Let's address this head on. We know this is not a typical thing that one will be doing. This is a process that is going to occur once to recertify the entire fleet. And by fleet, I mean every piston engine aircraft still using 100 LOLED. And so the FAA has been very receptive. Now, I'm not talking ACOs. I'm talking the Engine and Propeller Directorate and the Light Aircraft Directorate.
The true propeller heads.
Yeah, exactly. And we're designing, in conjunction with them and the OEMs, a big picture blanket certification plan. And a blanket is a bad word when it comes to FAA. But, you know, they're really taking this issue head on, and they are analyzing our fuel off of technical merit and say, you know, this is something that truly matches the performance of 100 LOLED, so why can't we certify it in the fleet to be used? We're working right now with them to develop this timeline, and it's not going to be 5 years off in the future. We all know that it has to happen and happen soon. We don't want to just jump to conclusions before the data is in place. So they're proceeding very cautiously, but with more speed than usual. And so we thank them for that. And the administrator has put out that this is one of the top issues facing the FAA today, that they need to address this head on at Oshkosh this year. And so with that in mind, we're moving, you know, the long way of saying we're moving to create a blanket certification so that aircraft owners and aircraft like this Howard behind me and Navajos and Cessna 150s and 72s and Pipers, they won't need to individually recertify their aircraft. That's an easy way of saying they're going to kind of group like aircraft, small, light compression, small compression engines, medium compression, you know, medium area engines, and then your very high compression, high demand engines that truly need 100 octane for detonation, among other reasons. And they're going to certify a representative sample of each one of those categories or run it through a process and then blanket certify the aircraft that fit within that operating envelope. So the things that worry me, you know, when we started this process, John and I, 5 years ago, we started this fuel process. It was first getting the word out there and getting the data out there that people believe. You know, so we started using third-party folks like our partners at Cessna and Lycoming and Embry-Riddle to actually generate the data for us in the FAA Tech Center. Then once the data got out there, then there were these one-off people that thought they had the solution. Our greatest fear along the way was that people would follow one cult or the other. We got to stop loving the problem and love the solution. And because we all love to fly, we just need to find that solution and move forward. We think we have the solution. The solutions out in the media world, you don't hear much about them. Right. You keep hearing about Swift and data and data and data. Maybe I'm partial to that, but I do a daily sweep. And the options are literally falling off the table or out of the air like flies. And so, you know, we support all alternative fuels that help general aviation. That's our overall mission. We have facing us the certification process. I'm very certain with the meetings that we've had with the FAA that, they're serious about getting this done and in a year's time frame or so, to get this timeline out so we can begin to follow it. I think a pitfall is the advocacy groups not advocating for general aviation. You know, I've been a member of most all advocacy groups for a while now.
Yeah, they just kind of discovered this problem like it started up yesterday.
Exactly. And, you know, they're not really advocating for anything. No. They're advocating, one group I heard, and I'm going to avoid names here, advocating for a lower lead solution fuel. But it's really not taking us away from our initial problem. I don't want to get into the whole lead debate because it's like the global warming debate. You know, there's two camps and people feel very strongly about whether it is or isn't a problem. What we say is we have an option now to make that transition not away from lead but away from petroleum. Make general aviation self-sustaining. And I think that if the advocacy groups, and we're seeing this come around, the advocacy groups are talking to us and saying, okay, how can we really support with our membership a solution like this? And I think the more people that we bring together, more OEMs that are serious about working with us, we're happy to give them fuel and happy to let them do the data generation rather than let us spoon feed them the data. So right now the pitfalls are you know, advocating for the wrong things or advocating for things that will take years and years and years that have no production process, and you know, getting the word out there. So we're trying on both fronts.
God willing, and the creek don't rise, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we're in it for the long haul. We're pilots first, not trained as a chemist or a chemical engineer. I'm de facto a fuels guy. I love being that, and I love doing that. But, you know, we're pilots first. We want to keep flying. That's why we started doing what we're doing, for the love of aviation as a whole.
John Zielkowski is Swift Enterprises VP of Renewable Fuels and Head of Corporate Flight Ops. In a moment, assuming you can make 300 million gallons a year of this stuff, how do you get it to airports? You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Welcome back to the ANN special feature. Mary Louise Rusek is president of Swift Enterprises. By way of finishing up the conversation on Swift Fuel's replacement for 100 low lead, ANN's Jim Campbell asked how the company will make the jump from success in the lab to success in the marketplace.
Well, right now we're making a lot of good friends and partners, such as AvFuel here, and we're hoping that they'll be distributors. They are hoping to distribute also. That's going to be the start.
Well, let's face it, from a standpoint of fuel distribution and so forth, it's a process that doesn't need to be reinvented or repeated in any way. So dealing with somebody who knows what they're doing is obviously off to a good start. But what is it that you have to do to be able to close the gap between we've got a great idea that can be certified and getting into the supply chain?
Right now, it's going to be a lot of patience. We are still going through the ASTM console. We need to finish up our materials compatibility. And we need to prove that, yes, we can do this. Everything says that we can, and we need to prove that to the world.
Now, as I understand, your roadmap right now suggests that you can have this process well on its way by 2012. Looking beyond that, what is the future for Swift Fuel? What do you envision this doing for this industry?
Swift Fuel in itself, that'll solve a lot of the problems that people who are worried about 100 unleaded going away will have. We do think that we've got something that can handle the higher octane, and we actually even have variants that will handle the even higher octanes if needed. Beyond that, we're also working with Wright-Patterson Air Force Base to help them with a few problems that they seem to be having, trying to find a replacement for JP8.
Oh, boy. Good luck with that one.
Oh, yes. It's looking very good. We just got the results within about a month ago.
So there's actually quite a breadth to the whole future of Swift Fuel.
Oh, definitely. We're also into racing cars. Believe it or not, 20 million gallons a year do go into racing cars. They need that higher octane.
Sounds like a good market.
Well, it's a small market, but, you know, if they're dedicated, we can be dedicated too.
What's it going to take to convince this industry that, one, you have the right solution, and, two, that Ma and Pa Aviator need to be pulling up to the local ab fuel pump and pumping them some Swift Fuel?
I think it's going to be the fact that we have to prove it. But we do have FAA support in what we are doing. We have AFUEL's report. We've got Embry-Riddle University working with us. They're going to be doing the first set of STCs. These are people that we need on our side. Going through the ASTM may have taken a bit longer, but it's actually given us an entree to a lot of people we'd never would have contacted. And if we had to prove it one by one, that's what we're going to do.
Have there been any major disappointments or roadblocks along the way that have had to be surmounted? Or is there anything in the future that really scares you about this process?
For our process, no, there hasn't been anything that bad. You've already heard about Smokey Young setting that speed record. We have a lot of people who have flown with this fuel, and it has not been a problem. I think my major worry right now is that the oil companies are actually talking about doing a 100 ultra-low lead, wherein they would cut their lead down to 1.6 grams instead of 2 grams. And that would put off us being able to enter the market because we'd still have that major competition going on. We're having to go farther and farther, deeper into the ground. And let's face it, a lot of those countries that we're getting oil from now are not exactly our friends.
Final question. Is it going to happen?
Yes. It has to. Or else we're all going to be dead, sitting here with our planes on the ground and no way to get them off.
Mary Louise Rusek is the president of Swift Enterprises. Find out more about the company and about Swift Fuel at www.swiftenterprises.com. Jim Campbell is ANN's founder, CEO, and editor-in-chief. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.